Coming up on the show today, Brian Gorjan returns home, as he calls it, to the Sydney Kings. We talk about that press conference yesterday. Breaking news out of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix as they part ways with one of their stars. Adelaide talk about the need for stability. New Zealand look like they're starting from scratch all over again. And of course, tonight, game one in the series between Melbourne and Illawarra. It's a jam-packed edition of NBL Now. So good to be with you on Thursday, the 7th of March. I love a Thursday, of course, because it means I get to spend some time with Pete Hoolihan. Hools, we have got a hell of a lot to talk about. Good morning to you. Just before we get to the breaking news, why don't we go back to yesterday, the Brian Gorjan press conference with the Sydney Kings. There was a lot of love in the air.
Yeah, there was. And there's been a lot of his name's been really. We talk about how good the NBL 24 season has been and continues to be. And yet Brian Gorjan, the name is floated up around nearly every single time we've had some elite news, or we continue to talk about some groundbreaking stuff or game of the year. And then the next day it pops up that Brian Gorjan is close or taking phone calls here or there. So I think he'd be glad that his name is now not floating around all the other teams and all the other potential candidates. He's been locked in. And I mean, it's awesome news for the league, no doubt, but it's awesome news for Sydney. And I'm sure him personally, listening to the way he's spoken, just thinking about it all when his career and everything, this, domestically speaking, this feels like it's his last infinity stone. He says, I've gone and achieved everything everywhere, but I'm coming back. I want to get an NBL championship, and then I can finally call it quits and be happy with that. And I mean, it speaks to his greatness, right? If he's still not satisfied and he wants to come in, and obviously Sydney had a tough year this season, and come back in and say to his home, as he calls it, and win another championship, well, he's already the greatest, but he could walk away and basically look around to everybody else and say, good luck catching me. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's interesting. Yesterday on the show, Ruck spoke about the fact that it's bad news for the rest of the competition, Pete, because Brian Gorjan makes Final Fours. That's just what he does. So if you work on the logic that Melbourne are pretty much always going to be good, Perth are always going to be good, and Tasmania have proven themselves so far, spots in the top six might be a little hard to come by if Brian Gorjan picks up from where he left off.
Well, I think a lot of that is because of who he is and what kind of coach he is. It becomes enticing for a landing spot for players. And that's the thing you've got to think about. Players who aren't necessarily looking around. I know everybody floated up Patty Mills' name, but Gorge has that kind of aura around him where if you're a fringe player, if you're overseas and maybe you've got to take a bit of a pay cut and you want to come back home, you're just circling Sydney saying, I want to play under Brian Gorjan. We know everything that's happening with the Olympics this year, but he has that kind of aura around his figure, and understandably so. So you think about the roster he could potentially build in Sydney, and I think it's going to be a really tough one, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. But as someone who lives in the moment, I can't think too much about that because we've got a game tipping off soon and there's a lot going on, but I'm very excited that Brian Gorjan is back.
Yeah, very, very exciting for the league. As we go to air this morning, and we're recording just after 8 a.m. on Thursday morning, news has just dropped via Olgan Ulich from ESPN.com.au that the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix and Alan Williams have parted ways. As I say, this has only come to light in the last 5 or so minutes before we started recording. What's your initial reaction?
Well, I don't want to get too Avengers themed, but this seems somewhat inevitable to me as well, based on everything that was happening with the Phoenix. And we talked about Olgan was reporting a review throughout the entire program. And it's hard when you're trying to potentially start from scratch or build things up, and the really tough year they had last year and everything that has gone wrong with injuries. It is hard to kind of build things back up when you've already got pieces locked in. And we know Sauce had to deal with some injuries, some time on the sideline. But in terms of a Phoenix point of view, what he brought to them off the floor, I think is going to be sorely missed. I mean, yeah, this is a fan favorite. You saw the way he got around the community. He's such a bright human being. His personality was one of a kind. So I think that they're definitely going to miss as well. But what it does mean on a basketball front is they can truly try and start fresh and really build around something that goes forward. And I mean, Alan Williams is a walking double-double. Everywhere he goes, he gets that rebounding title, and we've seen that, and he's always been a super coach favorite because of the numbers he can put up. So I would love to see him in the league somewhere. I'd love to see him stay around in the NBL because he's a terrific human being and a fun player to watch. But I did kind of see this coming if this was the path that the Phoenix want to go down, thinking, we need to have kind of a blank slate to build on because we're in a bit of a tough pickle, which they were for NBL 24.
Do you see this now, as you kind of already alluded to, is this a bit of a reset, do you think, for the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix?
I think it is, and I think there's obviously some other pieces still locked in. Whether that means that another domino or two has to fall from here for them to really start that reset, but it does look like that. It's hard, right? When you try and have that reset, that mindset, that review of, okay, we need to start from a really scratch, or we need to build something up and have drastic changes. When you already have significant pieces locked in, you can say that, but you're really not going to ever really start from fresh, are you? Because you've already got those pieces locked in. So this makes sense. This seems like a stepping stone towards, okay, let's go out there, put all our cards on the table. And you can only put all your cards on the table if they're off the table to begin with. And that's what I think they're trying to do.
And the last one on Sauce, so he's no doubt a high-priced item here in the league since he arrived. Played 15 games this season. Do you see another team in this league picking up Alan Williams?
I'd be picking up the phone. I think, again, you look around and the elite bigs in the league, and we were talking before we got into the start of the year and everything that happened with the Phoenix. I mean, his name was in an MVP conversation. If he didn't start late, but the way he was playing, I think you'd be fools not to pick up the phone and at least ask the question. The price tag is the different thing. He's obviously going to warrant a big payday, and so he should. The key that would help a lot of teams if they are after his services is he loves Australia. He really loves his time in Australia, albeit he had 2 years to get adjusted to good coffee and didn't want to do it. That's a personal choice. I'll stay out of that one. But I think that it's a conversation you'd have to have, because we see all the teams in the league, and all the teams left in the finals, sorry. You need to have an elite big man, and I think he was one of those.
Interesting to listen yesterday. Scott Roth spoke on Melbourne radio and spoke about the series upcoming against the Perth Wildcats, and said, and I'll quote for context, Bryce, I was very lucky enough to be around him. He's a tremendous scorer, MVP, multiple championships, but he is difficult to deal with when you can't touch him. It's very difficult to guard someone who is getting a lot of incidental fouls over the course of the game, and our foul discipline will have to really be on point. And Scott went on to talk about that, hoping incidental calls on both sides of the ball are let go in many respects. But is this just a little grenade over the fence ahead of Friday?
I think it's a bit of tongue-in-cheek from Scott Roth with a hidden meaning. I think it's the hidden meaning is he's trying to plant a seed, and this is the kind of mind games that come with playing finals basketball. And obviously he knows Bryce Cotton. He's been around Bryce Cotton. And I think for the most part, what he's trying to say, if you go back and watch the first three games of the play-in tournament, outside of maybe a couple of minutes in each and maybe the first 3 to 4 minutes of the third quarter of New Zealand and Illawarra, the whistle went away for the most part. This was kind of final. This is what you expect in finals basketball. You're going to have everybody banging bodies. You're going to have a lot of physicality let go unless it's really crossing the line. I think that's kind of the seed that he's planting. But it's also, he understands, that's the way that Tasmania like to play. Will Magnay, I remember a game a few weeks ago where he was going at Ario Hook-Porty down in Tasmania, and they were just going at it, and there was nothing illegal about it, but you could have called a foul on every play. He understands that's where his team is at their best. And I've got an article coming out later this morning, I believe, about why each team can win, why each team can't win. This seems like a deja vu moment for Tasmania. If you remember back 2 years ago when they first entered the league, their last regular season game was against Melbourne United, who had nothing to play for. They came out of halftime, they went on a little run, and Melbourne rested their stars. It put everyone on the bench. Tassie wiped the floor with them. I think they outscored them something ridiculous in the third quarter. It was like 29-9, and they put the game to bed. And Scott Roth and Tasmania took that personally. They said, we're playing every game to its merit, even if it means nothing. They then faced Melbourne in a play-in series, in a semi-final series, and beat them. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Perth went down to Tasmania to end the regular season. And yes, they should have arrested Bryce Cotton. They did the right thing there. But everyone was wondering, okay, this is a dead rubber. Is Tassie going to play the right way? And they did. And now we have a deja vu moment once again where they go, don't have home court advantage and try and say, okay, well, we're playing basketball the right way. And we remember what happened 2 weeks ago. And we'll find out what happens in two or three games' time. But that's something I just can't not think about.
The other thing that's interesting out of that interview was that he spoke about Milton Doyle only shooting 71 free throws for the season, Jordan Crawford 81, and Bryce Cotton shot 214. So is it just maybe a little bit of mind games with the officials as well, perhaps?
That's what it's all about. That's fine. It's little mind games here and there. And any little edge you can get in games that you expect to be hotly contested, which these will be. These will be fiery clashes, I think, between Tasmania and Perth. There might be a couple of times where the referee's got to get in and break it up. It's all about a chess game, and I think that's exactly what Scott Roth does. And to be honest, he's one of the best at it. So why wouldn't you?
To the Adelaide 36ers, Pete, Scott Ninnis has spoken in the press about the need for stability. He actually spoke about that on NBL Now when we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago as well. It's been a key message. DJ Vasiljevic locked in. Nick Marshall, Sunday Dech already rolling over from contracts. Now Isaac Humphries locked in for next season as well. If he's talking stability, do you think that includes Trey Kell for next season?
I think it does now that Isaac is locked in because, again, we heard from Olgan a few weeks ago in overtime that Isaac was asking him for a fair wicket and the Adelaide weren't close. So they've obviously had to come to some agreement on that and get a little bit closer to what Isaac thinks he deserves. And rightly so, he was unbelievable this season. But that wasn't cheap. And all of a sudden now you think about the other bigs that were hitting the free agency market. Jordy Hunter would have been one. Jonah Bolden, those guys would have asked for probably a little bit less than Isaac Humphries. So if they went after one of those elite bigs in the competition at a smaller pay, then they could have really loaded up on that point guard spot and chased whether it's an import guard or somebody else. Now you've got Isaac locked in, the money will come down a little bit for some other positions. And Trey Kell, I mean, understandably so, the back half of the season when you put the ball in his hands as a point guard, he proved that he belongs and he can play with especially DJ and Isaac. So that's not a bad starting point. There's also been some whispers around who else could be joining them, which I'm sure we'll talk about in the next few weeks. And again, all of a sudden, Scott Ninnis, if he gets that stability right, then he's got some exciting things in the city of churches.
Well, all the talk is that they want to get very busy very quickly, the Adelaide 36ers, so keep your eyes on them. Also, New Zealand, Pete, we haven't had a chance to address this so far on the show this week. After Monday night's loss, Modi Mayor said that he basically concedes that they're going to have to go back and rebuild the roster from scratch like they did last season when they lost Brantley Pardon and Barry Brown. It doesn't sound like he's expecting Cheatham, potentially Parker Jackson Cartwright as well, Anthony Lamb. It sounds like there's a lot of uncertainty for next season.
Yeah, and it's really hard to think about because go back in recent history, what team has nailed three imports three times in a row? Yeah. Yes, Justinian Jessup got hurt. We understand that, but I still think he would have flourished under Modi Mayo's system. But to get three imports, first-year imports, to come in and dominate the way they did when healthy, that is so rare. To do it once, let alone do it twice. And I think Zylan Cheatham's the one who was in and out with injuries, and we saw glimpses of how elite he could be. I'm not sure he'd be asking for more money, so he'd be one that potentially they could go back. But Anthony Lamb came in late, and we know he did his Achilles. But Anthony Lamb's price, whatever it was, has gone through the roof. I mean, he was unbelievable this season. We talked about if he was here all year, he'd be an MVP candidate. And Parker Jackson Cartwright, whatever that dollar figure was, that's gone well and truly up. So all of a sudden, if you're sitting there, Modi Mayo, you're just thinking, from his personal standpoint, you don't want to see those players land other places in the league because maybe other teams can only afford to get one of them if you're going down Lamb or PJC, and it's tough for them to have to think about it. It is a really shocking position because I felt for them. The more I looked at it, the more the games missed with these superstars. It's the biggest what if that I can recall in NBL history. If they kept everybody healthy for the entire time, and obviously if Anthony Lamb was there for the entire journey, this team could have done something so special, but we'll just never know. And the fact they even got to where they were is a credit to all the players, but especially Modi Mayo. He is a true genius at his craft, and I'm sure he'll figure it out for next year, but I'd love him to keep two of the three. I just don't know if it'll happen.
I'd love to see them come back next year. It'd be phenomenal. Let's finish off with tonight, Pete. Melbourne taking on Illawarra. Game one of the semi-final series. Melbourne haven't played for almost 3 weeks now. Illawarra have been playing a lot. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I'd love to get your thoughts on, from an Illawarra perspective, firstly. How much have they got left in the tank? That Monday night was pretty exhausting, physically, emotionally, mentally, and it's a pretty quick turnaround to tonight. Are you concerned about that at all?
Not concerned because I think that they're a kind of group that likes to play. And again, I know they're playing with the emotion, but that kind of emotion and the fairy tale that they're on, I don't think it's running out of gas anytime soon. And any kind of, we talked about the Tasmania and Scott Roth, any edge you can have in these crucial finals games will matter. And the fact that they played recently, I think, helps them. And I think Liam said it on overtime. They weren't great on Monday. Yeah. They weren't really that good. New Zealand missed a lot of shots. New Zealand missed some prime opportunities. Illawarra turned the ball over. They need to get Gary Clark going. I think he's been a little bit of a funk this postseason. Even in the game he had 21 against Tasmania when I was down there, he took 10 threes. And yes, he looked like he hurt his ankle a little bit. But there's some concerns that he's just not as aggressive on the front foot. I'd be going into this game confident if I'm Illawarra. You can't read too much into the regular season form, but five of Melbourne's seven losses came after a seven-day break or longer in terms of the FIBA break, where they came back after the FIBA break and lost to Cairns. So read into that what you will, but Melbourne seems to be another team that likes to play quick games in succession. They never lost back-to-back games. They only lost three games at home all year. One of those two things, if not both, is going to have to be broken if Illawarra want to win. But I just go in there with a nothing to lose and have a free swing.
Series prediction. I'm putting you on the spot here. What does it look like when it's all said and done? Are we going to three?
Well, the first half will be telling. If Melbourne comes out really slow, as I said, they have of their five or seven losses has come off an extended break. Then maybe, but I just see there's so much firepower. And again, Illawarra, they've got over the line each time, but this Melbourne team is so stacked and they've had enough time to get healthy. I hate calling for brooms because I like games, but if Melbourne played to their level and played the way they should, I think it's going to be tough for Illawarra. But I love a fairy tale, man. I'm going three. I'm going at least three games. I'll go three. I love a fairy tale. Let's see how far it goes.
It all starts tonight, of course, pregame from 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time. But as we always say, check your local guides. Hulls, look forward to your article landing on nbl.com.au today. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, mate.
Have a good day. Thanks for being with us on NBL Now and enjoy Melbourne and Illawarra tonight.